Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you are doing so well under the redemptive grace of God. Shall we pray as we share in the word of God? Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto you for the sustenance, for how you show forth your love to us and sustain us by your grace and your mercy. And I pray we join our hearts together and pray and call upon you to grant us understanding into scripture, that we will receive light for our path and lamp unto our feet, that we wouldn't trip and fall, that we will be sustained even by the riches of your word. Have your way through us, Holy Spirit. Grant us a strong foothold in your word, so that the waves of the world and the nature of the flesh will not take us out of the blessings you have prepared, laid out, arranged for us, before us. May we receive strength through your word to overcome addiction. May we receive strength through your word to overcome temptation. As we set forth throughout our walk this year, may we receive strength and energy, inner strength, inner capacity to overcome. Make us overcomers. Strengthen us. Empower us. Even by the fire of your word and by the water of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I pray for everyone that is connected to this platform, anyone that is receiving this tape. Father, I pray that your spirit will touch them and bring them onto deeper understanding, further than what will be taught or what will be put forth. But let this touch light up many more torches in all the places that you intend to send your message. I pray that light will comfort for your people in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Beloved, I'm led by the Spirit to do this. Something that he shared with me a couple of months ago has helped me, and I believe it will help you. We are looking at general struggles that scripture has word on in terms of being an overcomer, whether it's a temptation, whether it's an addiction, whether it's lust. I'm going this way because the number one enemy of your life is you, yourself, your flesh. If I allow my flesh to dictate to me, I'm going to be a very nasty person, and I would not qualify to be called a man of God. But if grace has found me and brought me into his service, I maintain my stand in the Lord, in the confines of scripture, and would not, as I should not, touch anything unclean, or allow my predilections, my emotions, my feelings to bring me to a place of disgracing myself, dishonoring myself, and beating myself down too low than where the Lord has placed me. I know and I believe that the Lord, through these few times of engagement with you, will strengthen you to overcome, will empower you against the temptation, so you'll be strengthened with might. And it's my prayer that you take cue in scripture, allow the word of God to enrich your heart, enrich your soul, and make you a better person. So temptation, addictions, predilections, I believe that they are a part of human life. They are a part of your life, what you go through. But because they are a part, does not mean that we allow it to have the upper hand and rule over us. Rather, we are to take strength, pick up strength from scripture, and then encourage ourselves even the more. Okay, I want to read Matthew chapter 4, an aspect of it as we begin. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So I want to establish this truth. Number one, God does not tempt us. The devil tempts us. But the temptations that come our way the temptations that the devil brings to us or brings us into, what I will share with you is, beginning from the verse 1, we know it is the Spirit of the Lord that is leading Jesus, our Lord, into the wilderness for a period of time to be tempted. The purpose is that he'll be tempted. And who is the instrument for the temptation? The devil. And who is the driver? Who is the vehicle, the carrier? The Spirit of the Lord. Which destination? The wilderness. So where exactly the Lord wants you, there he will drive you, he will lead you to. And what he wants to experience, he will definitely make sure you experience it. Even if it means employing the agency of the devil, he will. He will. You remember the story of Job? Now, the instance of Job tells us exactly what this verse 1 is saying to us, that the tempter is a devil, but he takes permission from God. God told Satan concerning Job, you can touch his life, touch his belonging, but his soul, his spirit, he cannot touch. That is important. It means that God, in his word, has told us, and it's true, he will not let us come close to any temptation that's greater than our substance, greater than our faith, greater than our tenacity, greater than our strength. Anytime temptation comes our way, the Lord gives us strength to overcome. How? Through his word, as we are going to see. Now, continuing the verse 2, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, the verse 1 never told us that Jesus was tempted at the end of the fasting. Truth be told, he probably went through the temptation on different days, many instances of the same temptation that he had to endure as he fasted for 40 days. I'm being frank with you. He went through fasting and praying. I have fasted and prayed severally. I know you might have too. Now, the truth is, oftentimes when you have not eaten for a whole day, if your usual custom is at least within the day you eat three times, some eat as much as five times a day. Now, if you, before the fast, you have been eating that much every day, then you cannot go by a fast for one day. That's to say, if you intend to enter into fasting, you might as well cut some of your meals off as you prepare for that day of fast. Maybe a week before you fast, you start eating, maybe instead of three meals a day, twice a day, or one meal a day, you go that way, and then you begin to eat more fruits and more veggies and all that. Prepare yourself for the fast. Now, it is healthy for your body, and your brain, your mind begins to adjust to the limit of food that you are having access to. And so when you are going without food, it's easier than to have been eating all throughout the past week or weeks, heavily every day, and then all of a sudden you wake up the next morning after yesterday you probably ate six times a day, three major heavy meals, and then other snacks here and there. You ate all that through the day. Now you wake up this morning and you want to go and fast. Now your body is going to be in a shock. It's going to be a problem for you. Your stomach is going to act up, and so you need to prepare. And that, my point is, if you have, at least on the average, you might have, no, prepare yourself whichever way, but for a whole day you can survive, you can, your body, you can adjust. But you know, the meal times of the day that you have had will influence when you feel the hunger pangs, and then you probably feel you are tempted to eat. Okay, so temptation to eat is something that is obvious in any fasting period. That is why we admonish that you add praying to your fasting, because fasting without praying is a hunger strike that at any point in time when your pangs hit in and you cannot endure, you throw in a towel, you will give in. Now, the reason why fasting is essential, we will teach it over and over again, but let me mention this to you, that when you fast and you pray, it affords your spirit the upper hand over the flesh. And your life as a believer, you're supposed to be living it in that state of your spirit man being empowered by the Spirit of the Lord and through scripture to be strengthened over the flesh, over the body. Now, your soul is a doorway. So your soul is going to take from what your spirit is bringing up and then order the body system, the mind. You're going to have to allow your spirit man, your inner man, and the will of God that is fully expressed to your spirit man to take up the upper hand, so that your soul is instructed as to how to drive the body system, so that the body is put in check, even though you might have to endure the hunger pains for a long time, you're still going to be ready for that because your spirit is intact. And that is what fasting seeks to do. Not just the fasting, not just the hunger pains, but there are so many desires in our lives, in the body system, that begins to go down so that your spirit man can be strengthened to take the upper hand the more as you continue denying yourself from food. Now, you see, when you deny yourself from food, which is a basic need, it means that all the other basic needs of a man's life, of your life, you have the strength, the tenacity to deny yourself of all of them too. And so that is why it's essential to fast. If you are practically dealing with addictions and temptation, You need some kind of fasting, food fast. That is when you are denying yourself from food, or denying yourself from eating food now. That should go along with other forms of denial. You cannot entertain your usual, TV time. You know, the number of hours you spend behind the screen, whether it's a TV, whether it's a phone, whether it's a device, whether it's a laptop, whatever it is, your screen time should be cut down when you are in fasting. Why? Because the screen time takes a lot of precious time from you that you're supposed to focus on God, on His Word, and praying and laying in His presence, waiting on the Lord. So when you are fasting and praying, or when you're dealing with temptation and you are picking fasting as one of the tools, one of the things to do, you must also understand it's not just food that you're going to cut down. You're going to cut down on communication with friends, going to cut on communication with family. You're going to have to cut down on time you spend with the screen. You're going to have to cut down on virtually everything. You cannot entertain sex if you are married. When you are fasting, scripture says that will be the only reason why you know the partners will not be engaged in that activity. That is when one partner is fasting. But even the scripture says, as soon as the fasting period is done, let them both, in that agreement, come together again, so that one will not be tempted. Now, if you're married, you cannot say you're fasting, so you're going to deny your partner for a long period. You need to be considerate. You fast for a while, and then you give room for that, because it's a relationship. The agreement thing must work. What you both agree on is what should work. And when you see that your partner's interest is being downplayed, or let me put it right, if you both agree that maybe for a number of days you are fasting, probably he or she is with you or not, but the plan is after a period you're going to come together. Now, if that doesn't happen, it's going to be two ways, or a partner may even agree to that, where his or her own intent or desires may require a shorter days of separation, you know. And so if you're going to agree, you can say that the person agrees to, you know, allow you fast or join you in the fast, but you know, you can read the signs, the person really wish that you weren't going to endure the fasting longer than the period you've both agreed. It is only wise that to keep your relationship at a point, you must agree to disagree. But on the tangent of building spirituality and gaining power and strength over the flesh, breaking addiction, enduring hard so you can overcome temptation, nothing should stop you from going all out to deny yourself all out, so that you have the upper hand, because that is so paramount, so important. Now, your soul needs that redemption, and your mind and your heart needs to be free, so that your body will no longer be a slave of sin. Your body could have suffered a lot through the years of enduring that addiction or temptation. It may be seasonal, it may be something that is chronic, is not leaving, is a besetting sin. Whenever it rears its head, you don't know, you have no logic spiritually or physically to endure, and you have no strength at all. that you must understand what is happening in your life and begin to take the upper hand by picking up the word of God, by entering into prayer, by denying yourself food and other pleasures of the flesh, so that your spirit can be alive and can receive from God, can receive from the scriptures the strength that you need to endure. So the devil is the tempter. The wilderness is the place the Spirit of the Lord has chosen for Jesus to be tempted. And so the meeting point is in the wilderness. The devil is attending, Jesus is attending, and the Spirit of God probably is watching what will happen. That is most often the scenario around us. You may be going through a temptation. You may have the pointification. You may have the points, let me put it right, the points, the notifications that you are probably going to have to let this slide. Let this go away. Do not follow this lead. Do not join that club. Do not follow that friend. Do not listen to that voice. You may have had all those red lights and yet you overlook them. Why? Because you don't have that strength to overlook them. And that strength to overlook those enticements is the word of God and the power that we receive from prayer. The strength we receive as we engage God, as we seek God, as we embrace God. Now, in verse 2, the word said, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And I'm saying, let's not presume that because scripture said after the 40 days, it means that he never felt hungry throughout. Clearly, he is God, fully God. But for everyone who has been a man, and he was also 100% man, you understand that going without food for a week, you're going to be hungry so many times. But it won't matter to you once the Spirit of the Lord is leading you into that fast. That is the emphasis. So we are saying after the fast, he became hungry because after the fast, the Spirit of the Lord did not require him to deny himself of food. So now when he felt the pangs, he had to satisfy that hunger. So he being hungry at the end of the 40 days is only because by that time he was not being required by the Spirit to be without food. Which means within the fast, he was hungry so many times, but it never mattered. He could have never felt it because he was being led by the Spirit, impressed upon by the Spirit, driven by the Spirit. Now, any life that is driven by the Spirit is a life of a son and a daughter unto God. He said, as many as received him, to them that he leads, they are the sons of God. So if he's leading you, if he's with you as you go, then you must understand that, yes, you will not give in to those notifications, those advertisements. You will be able to hold yourself back. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is leading you. Up, you are getting it. So the whole ultimate aim or the ultimate weapon to override the flesh, override the dictates of the flesh, the carnal nature, is having the Spirit of the Lord lead you and having yourself follow that leading of the Spirit of the Lord. So after the fasting, he felt hungry. And the tempter, now you see, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Loaves of bread, symbolic of the flesh. The Lord Jesus himself said, for the enemy comes, and he that cometh is coming, he is of the world and is coming, seeking for what? To kill, steal, and destroy. And all that is in the world, which he sees, which he is operating by, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So there are three things, three specific temptations that every one of us who is alive will constantly be facing. You're going to be tempted in the area of your flesh, the lust of the flesh. You're going to be tempted in the area of your pride, pride of life. You're going to be tempted in the area of your lust of the eye. All right? Now, the lust of the flesh, the bread, loaves of bread is symbolic because the flesh is hungry for sex. The flesh is hungry for companionship. The flesh is hungry for daily meals. The flesh is hungry for clothes. The flesh is hungry. Whatever that we do to the flesh that makes the flesh feel comfortable, that makes the flesh feel, yes, I'm alive, I'm enjoying life. All of that is lust of the flesh. It can go to the extreme where we learn from Galatians 5, all of the deeds of the flesh, all of the deeds of the carnal nature. And I will not go into that now. Now, so we are learning that the stones that were to be turned into the loaves of bread was symbolic. It's a temptation of the lust of the flesh. He was tempted in that area of his life. Now, verse 4, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This statement Jesus said is a direct quotation from the scriptures. It means that he pointed the devil to what is written, as in, my strength to not give in to the lust of the flesh is the word that is written, that is life to me, that satisfies me more, that settles every hunger that I have within me more than the natural bread, the natural food, the natural satisfaction in the body. He's trying to say that my satisfaction is not of the flesh, but of the spirit. That is, if I'm satisfied, if I'm fed in my spirit, I'm better off than seeking to be satisfied in the flesh or fed in the flesh. So all these times that Jesus is being tempted to say and to break his fast, you know, he's finishing the fast. So turning the stone into bread and eating it is not breaking the law. But the point here is, who are you obeying? Because he obeyed the Spirit of the Lord, moved to the wilderness 40 days, 40 nights, fasted. After the fasting, naturally supposed to break because the fasting is over. But the Lord, the Spirit that is with him, the Spirit of God that is with him, the same Spirit that led him into the wilderness, has not led him onto food. But rather the devil, through his flesh, is leading him. He could probably be sitting. Now let me be very practical, because we were never told that the devil appeared in any shape or form. All we know is that the tempter came. Now, the tempter, is that still small voice? Is that voice? Some of you hear it loud. It tells you, instructs you, points you to things that are appealing to the flesh. It could have been for Jesus as he finished encountering the Lord, the Spirit, praying, speaking to the Father. All of that happened in throughout his fast. He could have endured everything that has gone there. Many times he was hungry, he was naked and cold and all that. Could have endured all that. And after that, his spirit would have kind of receded a little bit, and because the fast is over and his flesh is taking over, and the mind, the brain of a man, that is the room of operation for the mind controls. Now he begins to look at all the things that you have been denied of for the past 40 days. Why don't you just satisfy yourself? Naturally, the mind will come to that. Suggestions will come. And that is how come most of us get into temptation, because suggestions come to us. And the Bible said it's the tempter that came to him. So that thought, that idea you have, may not be an idea that is from God, which means it may be from the devil. How does he do it? He sends a monitoring spirit, a familiar spirit. He sends any agent that he has to monitor your life, to come to you at a point, stand behind you and whisper a word or two. That is actually how he does it. So he's not going to appear as that person, but he's surely going to speak in that way. Now he may speak whatever he wants to speak to somebody, and a person comes physically to tell you that, and it begins to entice you. So a friend, a brother, a dear one, someone close to you can be that instrument, can be instrument, that voice that will be used to bring you to temptation. You may receive a phone call, a text message, a notification, something from a friend or someone you don't know, but the person has access to you, and the person has an instruction from the devil to distract you, to take you off course. You're planning to settle down, and you are honestly looking for a life partner. I'm being practical with you. You may come to a point where because you have been monitored by the agents of the devil, and the devil is aware because of your comments, how you comment, you make past comments about your needs, and you need a wife, you need a husband, you need companionship, and you begin to attend single seminars, and you attend marriage seminars, and you attend all kind of seminars, and you begin to read all manner of books. Now, all of that you are doing, you are being monitored. So the devil knows, has intel about you. And so in the quest for a married partner, you if you are not circumspect, if you are not careful about your steps, if you don't continually seek God before you take that decision, then in the midst of all that engagement that you are into, and you go places, you visit places, some of you even go to the extent of dating different partners, different people, trying to see who fits best. Now, as you do all that, you're being monitored. And so the devil just sends someone to be a distraction. Someone that seemingly fits your description. It fits what you like. It fits what you love. It fits what you easily go with. Yet, there's an agenda, a hidden agenda. That person may come into your life, and you innocently may open the door to allow the person come in. And the person comes to destroy that hope of a good married life. Some of you may even lose your virginity in that attempt, young ladies. Some of you men may end up, you know, defiling yourself, and you're going to be broken hearted, and you're going to experience what we have called broken heart, because you feel someone you had given a part of yourself to in any form of covenant. Even if nothing physically happened, nothing intimate happened, you've given an investment of your time, your energy, your resource, and all that. The hours you spent chatting, discussing issues, going out, visiting here, all of that investment made, your emotions are going to be sucked up by those social activities with a person, and you're going to come to a point, at least if nothing happens, that they will be glad that you were distracted. And let me tell you, while you are with that person, or while you are chatting with that person, the one that God really wants for you, that really, really knows is going to be good for you, maybe just around, and you will totally not see, you disregard them. You might even be the one to hurt them and push them far away. Now, that is temptation. And it never seems temptation to you. It seems a way of life. You are living your life, choices here and there. But God really, really wants you to find people that are supposed to be connected to you are right. So his mind for you will come to pass. The devil is sending someone to you. He has his agenda. So is God sending someone to you. He has his agenda. Now, your capacity, the inner strength and tenacity to go after that which God sent your way, and connect with that which God sent your way, is what is required to overcome temptation. So that thought you have, you still have the power of choice to follow that thought or not. That idea you receive, you still have the power to go after that. That feeling you are having, you still have the choice to satisfy it or not. Jesus felt hungry, but he knew the choice was left to him whether to turn the stone into bread. The question was not about whether he had power to do it or not. He is God. Turning the stone to bread, something you might have done severally. So you see, agreeing to sleep with that person, it's something naturally you don't struggle to do, because it's in your nature. Now, turning the stone to bed is in the nature of Jesus Christ. If he does it, he's not breached any law, any contract. He's done nothing wrong, because he has both the power and authority to do so. Now, the question is he being obedient to his heavenly Father by turning the stone into bread? You see, you may have gift sets, you may have skills, you may have talent. Those selected songs that you are producing, that you are singing, that you are following after, going into clubs and going to all kind of parties and singing those kind of worldly songs. Who are you serving by doing that? Which power are you obeying? Which voice are you obeying? That is what makes it a temptation or not. That's what makes it a serious issue or not. The point of turning the stone into bread is a decision point. Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? Why should I do it? Why should I not do it? Who says I should do it, and who is saying I should not do it? If God says no and something else says yes, and you follow and you do it, God said no and you said yes, so you have made God a liar and you have rather gone against God. You have sinned. That's what Adam did. God said, don't. The enemy said, you could. If you love it, then the man realized that yes, it's good, it seems good, I like it. Eve tasted it, it tasted good. The man just said, oh, Eve has already taken it. There's no holding back. Eve is that part of Adam that was taken and molded. So it's a part of him. That is what I'm talking about. If your partner already accepts whatever that it is, if it's negative, you will eventually end up accepting it, except you have a different energy source that tells you otherwise. And that is to say, even if it's just within yourself, at a point you may be divided between yourself, should I or should I not? But the part that says not to anything that is sin, probably is going to be from the word of God or the spirit of the Lord. The Lord is leading you. The part that says no, it's probably the voice of God to that thing that is negative. The part that says yes is probably going to be the voice of the devil. It doesn't take so much effort for the devil to do that. And the response of Jesus is supposed to be our response every time. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you understand this statement, you understand clearly, you appreciate the fact that life is impossible without the word of God. Your life you are living, your energy source is from the word of God. You receive strength, provision, everything from the word of God. If God has said anything, that is strength for you. So just that time that you are receiving those thoughts, you know what will help you so much? Pick a scripture or two, read it, let it strengthen you. Imagine if whenever you are hungry and you see food that is not yours, whenever you are, you know, desiring for a woman or a man who is not yours, whenever you are desiring for any item at all, someone's nice Apple phone or a very powerful Android phone, whatever that is, and you have seen it, you desire it. Now imagine if that point, this scripture comes to mind. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Intending to teach you, bring you to understand that your life is not supposed to be lived on material things. In other words, you're not just supposed to follow your feelings, your emotions, your desires and predilections just because they are there. You have a choice to determine when to follow those desires, when to satisfy those basic needs in your life and or not. You have the power. When you know that you have the power, when you seem to not have power, because when you are feeling the pressure to take that item that is not yours, to steal, you, and all of a sudden you begin to hear the word of God within you, or you begin to recall that scripture that gives you strength, that tells you, hey, you're not that weak, you are strong. This thing you feel like doing, that it seems if you don't do it, you're going to die. As a matter of fact, it will come again and again, but you will never die if you never follow it. Now, imagine that comes to you just at that point that you feel like doing it. Do you think you will eventually do it? No, because you have been made aware that you are stronger than that pressure. You feel like having sex. You feel like masturbating. You feel like doing anything sexual, whether you have a partner or not. Imagine this scripture comes and the understanding you get is your life is supposed to be lived by satisfying spiritual needs and not physical needs. And sexuality is a physical need that you can let it pass. That tantrum, that fire, that pressure, you can just let it burn for a while. It never burns to consume. It burns for a while and it dies out. That is why any effort to follow after sexual desire to satisfy it, just at most 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that desire is passed away. Now the question is, when that desire, that feeling, that emotion, that thing you call temptation, if you endure and it passes away, you see how grateful you'll be, how much strength you'll feel, how much of a victor you'll be, rather than following after that feeling, emotion, and doing what you know you eventually regret, and then blame yourself, condemn yourself, you know, and guilt sets in. And now you carry guilt as a helmet instead of carrying the word of God. Now, I'm going to share with you some scriptures. That's what I intend to do. So that after listening, or as you listen, you take note of these scriptures and you get them near you. You place them in your room, on your fridge, somewhere, everywhere, anywhere, on your phone. You can create picture files of the scriptures, a lot of them on your phone. And some of the phones, you can set it to be appearing either at the background or somehow, so that at least every moment in time, there's a scripture that you are seeing that is reminding you of how strong you are, how much powerful you are, how much of an overcomer you are, how much worthy you are to be better than what you seemingly have experienced or is about to experience, or that thing that is seeming tempting you. You can overpower it. When you are reminded that you have their power, you will take that power, because indeed the power is not external, is within you. So Jesus said that, and all he meant was, this thing you are asking me to do, it pertains to the flesh, but my life is not about the flesh. I'm not about satisfying the flesh. I'm about satisfying the spirit. I'm not about following the dealings of the flesh. I'm about following the dealings of the spirit. I'm not about the thing that is carnal. I'm about the thing that is spiritual. And so my life and the life of every man does not thrive on bread that is provision or lust of the flesh. Satisfactions of the flesh does not bring life. But real life is coming forth based on the word of God. That word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what Jesus said. Then, let me continue. The devil took him to a holy city, set him on a pinnacle of that temple so he could see everything. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, as I know you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. That is interesting. Now, this second temptation is actually on the premise of the pride of life, ego. This is who I am. I'm powerful. I'm strong. I'm this. I'm anointed. I'm this. I'm a child of God. Now, all of these things are good things, but if you're going to dwell on them as the totality of your whole being and existence, then it's pride. Now, he's fully God. He's fully man as well. And scripture says it. The devil is quoting scripture. That is the powerful thing. The devil is quoting scripture. Not everybody quoting scripture to you is sent by God. That is true. I think I watched a clip a while ago, and in that clip, in that movie, I realized a man who had really taken up the word of God was living the Christian life. Was going through so many struggles. His salary was too low. His job, he was not being promoted. His son was going through hell. He had lost a wife. He's about to lose his house. And he has virtually, everything is negative present around the health issues here and there. And he has a great opportunity, as far as the system of the world is concerned, they call it opportunity, to defraud the company. Someone is bringing a very good deal. In the eyes of the people of the world, is a good deal, because he's going to earn so much from it. But in the end, he's going to cheat the company. He's going to cheat the government. Now, all he had to do was just change a few figures here and there. And that was all. He was going to get everything. He was going to get enough to settle the rent issue, or probably buy a new apartment, or probably get himself a car, something, anything material. Now, it is in his power. In his knowledge, he's gained that intellect that he can do that. So what you have learned, what you've accrued over the years, your knowledge level and your skill set, your talent and your anointing, all of these can bring you to a place of pride. And exercising these prowess because of yourself is pride of life. The reason why you are coming to service to preach and minister is because you are full of yourself and you think without you nothing can happen, and you think you are the only person that is required in that season and that time, that without you hell will break loose and God will be disappointed, and you are thinking that without you playing that soccer game your team is going to lose. That is pride of life. You're thinking that without you opening that business, that line of business will collapse in that area. Yeah, it's a pride of you have that skill set. You have that market tenacity to do business and to do well. But when you blow your horn, not just by what you say, but by what you do, the life you live, and then the opportunities that you don't give others and you take them off, that is all that is pride of life. Jesus let himself down to be caught by angels. It's going to be like a showmanship, like just because you know the angels will catch you, so you are throwing yourself out there. Just because you know God will protect you, you will never die by accident, does not mean you should get yourself up and go and stand in the road. Because you know God will stop a car does not mean go and stand there. So somehow God will miraculously save you. Then you it will be a talk of the town. How an angel appeared because of you. Because in your walk with God, he's giving you that grace to walk with angels. That maybe in your services, angels appear. Does not mean you should make a show of it. That is pride of life. The devil is okay with it as long as you follow that line. So you may be walking in your gift set. You may be prophesying as God wants you to. Let me tell you this. It may be a surprise to you. God wants you to prophesy. The devil also wants you to prophesy. The devil's take is, as long as you prophesy and your reason for doing it is because you believe in yourself, it's because you trust yourself, it's because you want to be known, it's because you want to be heard. If this tape I'm sending, or these messages I'll be sharing, and the way I minister, my motivation, if my reason for doing it is so that people will hear me, people know that I'm anointed, so that people know that I am a teacher of the word, people say, Bishop, this is this and that. If that is all that I'm holding on to, that is all that is driving, that is all that I want, that's all that is my objective. If that a little bit of that is set into my heart, then no matter how good I am at what I do, I'm still sinning. I'm still exercising my pride of life. And the devil will clap for me because he knows if I die in this state of mindset I'm going to appear and say something and be the one to speak in that program, or I'm going to comment on this, or I'm going to call that sister and to prove that nobody cares about her, but I care about her. Now, to do all that with that self in place, when it's self in place, it's part of life. And if I die in that wake, I've missed glorious opportunity to be in heaven. Beloved, I want you to follow keenly. The second temptation that we are reading about is pride of life. I might have to make this thing part one and two or three or four because I've barely introduced what the Lord wants to do through me. But I believe you are blessed. So you might have been going through something now, you know. It's actually temptation. But you may not see it as a temptation because it's in line with what you like. Jesus likes bread and fish. So for the devil to say turn a stone to bread, if he had done it because he had the power, it also has that aspect of the pride of life, because you have the power to change water into wine. You go about the city changing every water into wine. Pride of life. The fact that anytime you minister, people fall under the anointing and they begin to speak in tongues and demons begin to leave, that does not give you the reason to go about doing it. You have to be doing it because God wants you to be doing it. Part of allowing God to be God, part of following the will of God, involves following his voice. So that when he says, don't go, even though you have the strength in your legs to walk and go there, you still not go because he said, don't go. But that you're going may not necessarily be because you have a car waiting. That is why you are going. As you see that one that does not have the car cannot go. Oh, God. Following scripture, you remember scripture telling us that if we are with someone and the person does not like meat or a certain food, for the sake of that person's faith, we should also not take that food in that instance. That is correcting the pride of life. Once you know, by showing up and singing all of the time within that service, everybody will know that you are anointed, you are gifted with the voice and the anointing to sing and all that. Once your motivation, your reason for doing it is because people see you and adore you and call you for invitations onto other programs and all that, once your reason is so that people see you and invite you again, it is pride of life. And you are sinning, and God is going to disown you. It is using your gifts, using your talent. But how are you doing according to his design for you? That is why over the period, I thank God for our father, the prophet Joseph Boateng Powers. If you don't know him, he's a good man. He's anointed. He's being used by God every time. And he's been there for all of us. And he's faithful with God and with men. And that's why God has given him favor with God and with men. I can recount the many times that he knew the anointing that was upon my life, but wouldn't release me for certain ministries, for certain ministration opportunities, because he has the mind of God that in due season, not just because he has the capacity, but because God wants that tool in that place. He knows that sister can sing so well, but won't send that sister to that program because he knows the mind of God. So that sister does not become pride of life. Won't set in the heart and the life of that dear one. And I'm sharing this with you because most of you have overlooked the instruction of the Father, thinking that you have the anointing, you have the grace, thinking that we are wasting time about it, thinking that the church is not deploying you to be the one to officiate that program or to do the dedication is because we think you are not anointed, or that you were not sent to the branch ministry is because we feel you are not anointed, or you are not sent, or whichever way it goes. Some of you even downplay people's anointing and you think it's because you are probably more anointed than them, and you speak in a manner that makes them feel like they have no essence of being in the ministry. It's you that is exercising your pride of life, and you are saying it. And while you are using your gift in such a way that others are dishonored, it is a showmanship, pride of life. So it's not just in the way you dress and appear, but the way you know the Lord says, don't go, don't say it, don't do it, don't sit there, don't stand there. He tells you not to do it, but because physically, because you are anointed for that, because you have been trained for that, then you go. Don't go to that service that you've been invited for. But you feel it's because somebody doesn't want you to be known. So you will overlook it and you go. Then you go, everything happens, nothing seems to be wrong. But people have seen you. You get then out of that exposure that you have given yourself, when God was not ready to expose you, not only does people or did the people see you, the devil also saw what you had in you. And then he planned one fine gentleman to be a distraction to your anointing. He planned one fine woman to be a distraction to what you carry. Because you disobeyed what God told you, whether directly or through someone, through your father, your spiritual father, you disobeyed, and you go, nothing happens that you count as negative, and say, you can make a VNC. Yeah. Then a week afterwards, someone you don't know begins to contact you, introduce themselves, they need this particular help. A certain kind of bond begins to build. Now visiting each other, and now you feel that person is also a ministerial person. Now because of it, the person joins the church and it continues. It could continue for a 10-year period. And the intent of the devil for launching the person into your life has not yet been executed. And you think everything is cool. You might have forgotten everything. You don't even life is good. You're moving on. And then imagine if through that you marry the wrong person, the one that will carry all your ministry and pour into the gutters is whom you have married, or is whom you have signed onto your team to be your PA or to be a manager or to be an administrator or to do anything. Imagine that. And now they become in charge of your travels and everything. And the devil is using them over the years. Their intent is to leave the door open so you can be attacked anytime. Even if they themselves will not be there to attack. And there's a major plan that is in motion that is having many plans. So you see little mishaps here and there. You never think that it's because of that person. And now you begin to see a certain kind of chronic disease in your life. That you seem not to be going away. You seem to be praying, the Lord is not healing. The drugs is not working. Because there's somebody who has access to your food. And that is what they are doing. Until whatever they are putting into your food accrues and comes to a certain level where your systems and your organs begin to fail totally. That is the major plan. They want to take you out by that way. But then it's taking a 10-year period by planting somebody strategic in your life whom came into your life because you exposed yourself before your season, before your time. Oh, God. That is all about throwing yourself because you know you'll be caught. Because you know the anointing is there. Because you know you have the gift. You have the voice. Because you know you have the talent. You can act. You can do that. Because you know you can preach. You can speak. You can raise people. Because you know you can train people. Because you know you can organize a program. And you are doing it because you believe in yourself that you can do it. Believe in yourself you can do it is good. But when it's because of yourself and not because of the Lord, it's pride of life. And pride of life is a big door that grants the devil access into our lives in many ways. So why is Jesus not following scripture? Because he knows, of course, if I throw myself, I'll be caught by angels. Oh, God. But he said, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. Now, that is important. Putting the Lord to test. That is to say, because you know, anytime you get up in front of people, God will use you. That is the mindset you have, eh? And that is why you don't even prepare. That is why you don't even fast and pray before major programs. That is why you don't even study scripture and prepare your study notes before you go and preach. That is why you don't even take time to hear God's voice before you go and begin to prophesy all kinds of things. Because you know you have the gifts of word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy. You have discernment because you have the gifts. Now when you trust the gifts and not the giver of the gifts, it's part of life. Let me break it down for you if you are not into the church, if you are not into ministry. You have this hand, good hand. You are on point when it comes to being a PA. Now, why are you seeking to be signed up onto that big company? It's so that my folks, my family, my friends, the people around me will know that I also matter when it comes to the job market, the business terrain. If that is the reason why you are seeking that appointment, that employment in that office, in that business, in that firm, you know it's part of life. When your decision is based on your prowess, your capacity, what you can handle, and not because underneath you know it is for a purpose that will honor God. My dear Christian brother, my dear Christian sister, your life must be lived every day to honor God. The question is today, God, in what way have my life honored you? In what way has this breath I'm taking in and out been an honor unto you? If there is nothing that I'm doing today that is honorable unto God, that is pointing God out to be the mighty one, the Lord, the God Almighty, but if everything I'm doing now points to me, what I'm capable of doing, what I'm anointed to do, what I'm gifted to do, what I'm good at, how much money I have, what car I drive, what house I live in, how good my meals are. If all that I do throughout the day is just a display of me, that is an exercise of the pride of life. But what Jesus said is, you cannot test the Lord your God. Which means throwing himself down for angels to catch him. It's a test he's going to put God. How dare you? Let me test the word of God for my life. The word of God for my life says, I will not die before my time. Let me test that word by drinking poison. My God, are you that dumb? Let me say, are you that a goofy? Beloved, pride of life sets in many ways. The reason why you don't want to kick away that drug you are taking is because you feel you have the choice. Yes, having that power or choice is your life, isn't it? And the pride of it is what makes you feel like you are in charge of that life and you can do what you want. Isn't it? Lady, you still want to go ahead and masturbate? You still want to go ahead and sleep around? You still want to go ahead and go after people's husbands? You still want to chase people's wives and sleep with them? You feel for the life you are living, you are attracted to married women more than single ladies. So you don't even think about when you're going to marry. You just want to just get as attached to the married women. You still don't want to put away that cocaine because you feel you're in charge of your life and you're in control. You still want to go ahead and do those tattoos. You still want to go ahead and braid your hair with those extra. You still want to put on extra nails, extra eyelashes, eyebrows, extra. Everything is extra today. Extra. Extra. You still want to dress naked. Because if you it's your life, you have the upper hand, you can do what you want. Go ahead. You still want to make that short video, that reel, and post on Instagram, post on this guy, post on TikTok, post on here. You want to shake your butt everywhere because it's your life and you can do what you want. It's pride of life. You are showing off that, yes, you have that capacity, you have that energy, you have that strength, you have that might, you have that anointing, you are wise. If your reason for posting is because you want us to see you and not God, then please. And you know what you are putting out, how you are dressed, walking out there, it does not point anybody to God. You want people's attention to come to you that you are also a fine woman. You want people to think of you as you're a good man, you're a gentleman. Fine. Or you, whatever picture you want people to see of you, it's not bad. But good, good has always been the enemy of best. Is this the best of you? To be drinking alcohol at this age? Is this the best of you? I don't want to sound like I'm condemning you, because I'm not condemning you. I want you, my beloved brother, to understand that why you think you are doing that because it's your choice. I'm only helping to realize it's an exercise of your pride. Yes, the pride of life. Just because you feel it's your life, you live it the way you want, nobody's going to condemn you. Nobody's going to judge you here, but God is surely going to judge you. I'm imagining how you want to enter into the kingdom of God with those extra nails and extra. I'm surprised people go to the extent of putting on extra foot nails. Come on. What has the devil gotten hold of you that much? I'm imagining. What if you appear that day before God, and all that you are doing in secret, God begins to show it on the screen, and somehow everybody sees it. Everybody in heaven sees it. Everybody in that space of eternity sees what you have done in secret over and over and over. Can't you find a reason by hearing that continuing in that secret sin is an exercise of your pride of life because you have the choice? Start nude videos and clips on your devices is because it's your choice. Why don't you go ahead and delete them? Because you have chosen not to go that way. If the choice is yours, choose the best, not the good. It feels good does not mean it's the best for you. That drug feels good in your system does not mean it's good for you. Now, those of us who have gone so way aside, you feel the butt of a man is what will give you, you know, satisfaction in your flesh. And so homosexuality, lesbianism, touching your fellow woman, that is something that is good for you. But is that the best life you can live? With that short dash that is going to be on your tombstone that day when you are being put into the ground, the date you were born and the date you die is before God like that. And he's wondering, so this short dash between these dates for my son, for my daughter, is this all that he's going to do with that life? Is this all that she can do with her life? That short span of life that I've given him as a gift, that I've given her as a gift, is this all going about dressed like that? Putting on extra everything, makeup, everything. Proving that, you know, I ask myself, why is it that you know naturally you can never grow that color of hair, but you're putting it on your head to tell God that you should have given me the energy and the capacity to grow different color hair. Does that sound right to you? It's just like the chamber pot. telling the maker, why did you make me to a chamber pot? And you meet that one, that my brother, into, you know, a cup. Some of you men have begun to leave your hair to grow. You want to have a permanent hair. You want to have a rasta hair. When naturally you are born a black person in such a place that your hair naturally can never become that. You want to use chemicals and cream and all that to make your hair that way. I don't mind if you need to cream your body, you know. But if you cream your body and your intention so that people will see you, now you have become fair. Oh, when God did not give you that kind of a skin color, what kind of choice is that if it's going to prove that it's all about you? Why can't you choose something that is going to prove that it's all about God? That I like the way God make me, and I honor God by who I am and what He's made me. I have no need for, shaping my eyebrow or removing my eyebrow or putting a haircut in that I will look funny or look any other way, or wearing a type of clothes that everywhere I am, people's minds will come to me. I'm the talk of the town. My style is what people are learning. People we call stars of the world. You see them on the platforms in those images that they send, and you wonder, to the extent of going naked on platforms, what level of madness is that? And nobody has the power to put them in jail for a week or two to restrain them so they can have some sanity in their minds. It's because they have their choice. So is this all that you can do with your power of choice to prove yourself to everybody that you are better? It's a test you're putting to God. And God, in time past, opened the earth and swallowed some up when they tested Him. In our days, because of grace, He's giving you more life. So you can come to hear me say this to you, or hear your pastor say what he will say to you. Hear that sermon, hear that preaching, hear that message. So Jesus will come to you again. So you can open your heart and receive Him anew and again. And let Him come in and take away from you this pride of life that is sending you nowhere but to hell. The devil didn't rest there, verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Wow, wow, wow. And he said to him, after showing him, you see, in the verse 8, he is shown. The devil took him there and he showed him with the eyes. He saw what the devil showed him. I ask myself, what is the devil wanting your eye to see that he has brought in your view that you are also looking? The sin of Lucre. That's how I call it, Lucre. The verse 9, and he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And that is the last of the eye. What he showed him. What are you watching these days? What have you been watching? You want to break the cycle of addiction if it's in line with what you see. What if you were blind? Let me ask you this. Do you think your life would be better off if you were blind than to have eyes and be tempted to watch all those naked things? You know, to have eyes and be able to see where you go and walk into all those places. Do you think your life would be better off if you had no eyes? What if you have no tongue to say all the lies you've been saying? Would you be better? Will your soul be saved? What if you had no legs to walk into the clubs, into the gutters, into the byways, into the ghettos? What if you have no hands to take and exchange that penny you have with the drugs? What if God gave you a crocodile skin so no need to pierce through, so you can never boil your drugs and pierce them into you? What if your skin was so hard that no tattoo could stain your skin? Would that make you better? Would that sanitize your soul? So you see, it's still a pride of life to destroy what God has given you. And it's the last of the eye if it's all because of your eyes. If it's all because of your strength, what you can do, who you are, is your pride. If it's all because of what you feel, your emotions, is lust of the flesh. These three categories are all the temptation that the devil will ever bring anybody, and they are shrouded in these three capsules. Understanding them identifying them when they come will give you some leverage to overcome. And that understanding comes from scripture. Like I pointed out earlier, you need to stack scriptures like these in many places of your environment, your room, your phone, your mirror, so that as often as you visit this place, you'll be reminded. And perhaps within that period that you are, your eye will see the scripture, will see that reminder. That is just the time that you are feeling like doing it again. And you are contemplating whether or not to do it, and you feel like, I don't have strength over this. I'm going to eventually fall back into it again. Why not just go ahead and do it right now and be over with? Then you see the scripture reminds you, it says, hey, you are stronger than that. You are stronger than that. I want to share with you, and I'm saying to you, you are stronger than that. You are better than that. So he showed him everything that there could ever be. The choice thing is he switched on a TV for Jesus. Jesus saw all the malls available and the things that are displayed in the malls. And was telling him, you can go in and shop and buy anything. Some of you are spendthrifts. You spend on things you don't need and you don't care. You just like buying, using money, using resources, wasting things, wasting resources. Now let me deal with, what do you see? What do you watch? Now today, everything that is around us has some screen displaying something. Phone has a screen that it used to be just that roller. You roll the numbers, you pick the answer and you listen. But now everything has a screen and there's something to see. There's something to watch. So never in the lifespan of humanity have we been thrown to so much temptation owing to the lust of the eyes more than our days and our times. And in future, smart surfaces are going to be everywhere on the streets. And whether you want to watch or not, is by the streets. It's, you know, like the few advertisements boards we see that are, you know, displaying, you know, that's how the future is going to be soon. And the stuff, you know, some of you are glued to, which you are hiding on your phone, on your laptop, on your devices, which you watch only when you are alone, very soon they'll be everywhere. Everywhere, in some districts, in some places, in our corners, everywhere, they'll be there. There'll be smart screens displaying advertising, naked women, naked men. So if all that you can do is store it and hide it from your body as if it's the most precious thing for you in your life, I'm telling you, it will not be that precious because it will be everywhere. But you see, I'm asking that question again. What if you had no eye? It means you wouldn't have downloaded it in the first place. You wouldn't have stored it. You wouldn't have given a code to lock it away, so that if your handset or your device falls into the hands of anybody, they will never have access to those things to know that you too, you are part of the group of people who sponsored that evil industry of pornography. They sponsored the industry of makeup, that you to not be known. That's why you only make up and visit nightclubs, so that by then, nobody will see it. You come to church with your natural beauty, but you go to other functions where you know there's no way I'm going to meet my pastor here. I'm going to see anybody that knows me that much as a Christian. So you make up, you dress with transparent dresses and all that. You look almost naked. And you and the world, you and the slots, you and the whore, you and the prostitute, there's no difference. Now I'm asking the question. At a point, an angel that is sent to you will miss you because they can't recognize you. Because the image before God, which you will show to the angels, and the image you will find is not the same. Oh dear. Someone shared that revelation, and I believe it's true. When Jesus asked him, you know, he asked a question, why is this sister here? Why is that brother here? And Jesus asked him, if you see this dress that is on my daughter and the same dress is on that prostitute, would you see any difference? No. Look at the hairstyle. This son of mine, this daughter of mine is putting on, is wearing, and the hairstyle of that one who is totally sold out to the devil. Is there any difference? No. That's just sad about it. May we find encouragement and strength in Scripture. In these 3 points, Jesus always said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Why? Because strength to overcome comes from Scripture. To endure temptation comes from Scripture. He went to the Scripture for strength. In that day of temptation, can you turn to Scripture? When you can't stand your own erection, can you turn to Scripture? When you are turned on and so wet, can you turn to Scripture? When you so much feel the urge to take that alcohol, can you turn to Scripture? When your desire for the weed to smoke comes so strong, can you pause for a minute and turn to Scripture? If you can turn to Scripture in just that 1 minute, I can assure you can receive so much strength than what is driving you into sin, into bondage. You can take a step out of your years of addiction just by receiving strength from Scripture. After this ordeal, in the verse 11, in the verse 10, as he just said, you shall not, he said, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only you serve. So he quoted Scripture in response. When the devil said, you should bow down and worship me, he quoted Scripture and said, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Beloved, are you now worshiping what you are seeing, what you are watching? It seems like a worship because, like, a particular time of the night, you are on your phone, on your device, watching something. At dawn, when you wake up, you watch those videos on Facebook, on Twitter, on what's the other one? TikTok or whatever. The ones people are shaking their bodies. It's a particular time of the day that you watch those things. You look. The fact that they are available for people to see does not mean you also commit the sin of lucre to go and look. Because when you allow your eye, the lust of your eye, to be satisfied, it means you are going to be downloading stuff into your memory that you can deal them out of your system. And for as many years as some of you have been watching movies, streams, clips, videos, pictures, motion pictures, watching everything, live shows, live cameras, watching everything. For all this time that you've been watching something, looking at something, or sitting by the wayside just to count a number of particular shapes and sizes that watch pass by, as you are looking, as you are watching, you are also downloading. You are downloading. No, when you turn on the camera on your phone and you press on record and it's making a video, as long as it's still on record, if you have more memory, it will be recording. And what is happening? It is taking up space. Where? In the memory. These years of watching, these years of looking, these years of using your eyes, satisfying the lust of your eyes, measure movie, you know, series 1, series 2, series 3, series 4, measure could see. And sometimes your eyes are heavy, you are drooling, they are red. You are tired, your body is suffering, and you are watching. Why? Because you have become a slave of the body. Which part? Of the eye. Why? Because the lust of the eye is being satisfied. And while you are watching and watching, what are you doing? You are downloading. It's going where? In your memory. What is it doing? Occupying space. Would that allow you to be able to download other good stuff? No. By the time you want to download any good stuff, you'll be told, memory almost full. Can't download. And the system will soon begin to crash. Think about what I've said so far. As I cannot go into the rest today, I will come your way again. But let me continue or conclude by saying, when you are in a temptation mood, when you feel like doing it, when you feel like gulping it down, when you feel like drinking it all, piercing yourself, when you feel like, yes, one more ear space, one more piercing my nose, one more piercing my navel, one more tattoo here, tattoo there, one more dressing like that, one more wig or hairdo or hairstyle like like those in the world. One more fashion style like that. It's just an occasion, one time occasion. Let me also do a makeup. When you just feel like doing that, ask yourself this question. Does it promote God, bring glory to God, or to myself, to my flesh, to my eye? Is it just because I will see it? When that agent of addiction comes, study the scriptures that I will share with you in the next audio. Can we pray for strength, for focus, for energy to be expended on what is best, what is honorable, what is pleasing, what is worthy of praise? Ask the Lord to come into your life. Ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life anew. Ask His Holy Spirit to take seat in you, to strengthen your spirit, to give you the inner tenacity, to strengthen your inner man. Some of you, you need to pray, ask the Lord, deliver me from this addiction. Deliver me from this temptation that keeps going and coming. Deliver me from this besetting sin, oh God. Release me, set me free, that I will be free indeed. For freedom, so you came to set me free. You need to pray that prayer. You also need to ask the Lord, Father, give me focus so I can read your word. I can stay on your word and run to your word, because only by your word will I be able to keep my way pure. You need to also pray the Lord, help me visualize in my mind's eye what the truth is against the lie that my eye seems to be seeing everywhere. Is it really true that that man, that woman I saw in that clip doing what he was doing, is it really true? Can a human being do that? Is it true that lie that sister told? Is it true that human beings can think to that extent of lie? That the damage I saw, can it be repeated in my time, in my life? Can I also do it before I act out and destroy my marriage? Can you help me understand why they painted a marriage scene like that in the movie? Help me visualize the truth against the lie I see on TV, on laptops, on screens everywhere. Help me visualize the truth. You want to pray? Forgive me, Lord, for gratifying my flesh, for satisfying my flesh, for falling after my pride, for satisfying the lust of my eyes, rather than sticking to your word, your thoughts for me, your minds for me. Forgive me. In that breath, embrace the forgiveness of Jesus. For freedom seeker came to set us free. He's died for you. His blood is available to wash. As you believe, confessing your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. Accept the forgiveness of God. It's not enough to pray for the forgiveness. It will be enough when you receive the forgiveness of God. And finally, to forgive yourself for letting yourself down. Let yourself go wayward. Finally, you want to pray. Father, grant me grace to continue to meditate on your word until I have constantly and for the rest of my life seen victory over temptation, over addictions, over any predilections in the name of Jesus. Grant me grace to meditate again and again anytime I come into your word. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word. It's my prayer that by this short exposition, my hearers, my listeners, your sons and daughters, wherever they will be, they will take the power of your word to fix their souls. So they begin to believe right. They begin to think right with a mindset right. I know that their spirits will be free to live beyond the dictates of the flesh. That every time the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eye is thrown at them, they will know it's the devil at work and run back to your word for comfort, for encouragement, for strength and empowerment. I pray that if there is any empowerment to be released unto my sister, my brother who is listening now, Father, as they stretch forth and close their eyes and believe in faith that even now you are with them, Lord, let your grace be multiplied to them. Let your mercy abound for them. Bring them out of darkness. I pray that you break the chains of addiction off them. Release them from pornography. Release them from addictions of drugs. Release them, Lord, from homosexuality and lesbianism. Break them loose, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that are left unto drunkenness, Lord, release them. Break them loose. Set them free in the name of Jesus. I pray that whoever will receive this message, if it was sent to them by anybody, I pray that, Lord, throughout this message, you would have blessed them by now. Release them by now and set them free. I pray for the rest of their days and their times as they continually seek you out to know you, to understand you, and to lean on your word every time for strength. Let strength be granted them from within them, that they will always remember that they are stronger than how they feel. They are stronger than what they are being told. They are stronger than what they are seeing. I thank you and I give you praise for what you have done in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, the Lord bless you. I encourage you after listening to share. Not so that the pride of life will be satisfied, but so that the Lord will be glorified. Because I believe by this, many will be free. Stay tuned for the part two of breaking addictions and overcoming temptations by scripture. Amen. Let me bless you by saying, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and even be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace now and always. Amen.